The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
True North, an AM 1460 and FM 101.1, The Answer. Saturday mornings at 8 or via podcast anytime. Now, let's get into it with your host, Dirk Hobbs.
All right, good Saturday morning, Southern Colorado. It is Saturday, October 7th, 2023. It is 8 in the morning, and hopefully you are out and about with your dogs or your significant other walking around our beautiful country here in Southern Colorado. You are listening to True North on AM 1460, and if you're south of Woodman Road, 101.1 FM, The Answer here on Salem Media. I am your host, Dirk Hobbs. Glad you're with us, and we got a great guest in the studio, like we always do. But Coach Mayotte from the CC Tigers is hanging out across the board from us. We're going to get to him in just a minute. But before we do, if you're a Colorado football fan, you got nowhere to go today but your couch. There is not a football game being played live in this entire state. And the Falcons are off this week. They're 5-0. They took it to San Diego State last week. But the boys are going to host the Wyoming Cowboys on October 14th. Kickoff is at 5 p.m. And again, these guys are off to a screaming start. Congratulations to Coach Calhoun and the Falcons. You guys are doing great. It's so much fun to go to a game. Guys, I say this every weekend, but we have an NCAA Division I football program in Colorado Springs. Okay, if you go north or south of here to, you know, not far, you're not going to find that, but here you will. And I think it's time we fill that stadium. So get your tickets at goairforcefalcons.evenue.net and get your ticks. Also, we got a big game coming up on November 4th. We've got Army coming to Colorado, and we're going to be playing up at Mile High Stadium up in Denver. So we'll all take a bus or a safe ride up, and we'll have a lot of fun beating Army, and then we'll have a safe drive home. Right, everybody? Okay. All right. If you're a CU Buffs fan, you know, Dion and company are still recalibrating. Came off a tough loss last week, but they are at Arizona State this weekend. They start at 4:30. If you're a CSU Ram, you're in Utah today. Utah State at 6 o'clock. And, of course, I cannot let you go without telling you about Ole Miss. So, let's pause here for a moment and give a moment of silence to the LSU Tigers. Okay, that's enough silence, because we at Ole Miss, hotty toddy, are very loud when it comes to the 100-point shootout that was in Oxford last weekend. And, man, some of the hits were absolutely spectacular. This was a lot of fun. So it was a 55-49 shootout at Vaught Hemingway Stadium in Oxford. And I got to tell you, I'm buzzing right now because we're 4-1. A little hiccup in Tuscaloosa, but we've got the Arkansas Razorbacks coming to Oxpatch, as we called it on the SEC network. We start at 5:30, and we're 4-1, ranked number 16. Kind of like us right here. So if we can hang out right here under the radar for a little bit and just do a little spanking in the SEC week after week after week and just steadily crawl up there, and all of a sudden at the last few minutes, just, oh, look, top five team. I'll take it all day long. All right, the new edition of North is out, and if you want to check that out, you can meet Boyd Williams. He's a very, very illuminated CEO over at the Pikes Peak YMCA. This guy is a lot of fun. So last week we had him here on the air. We had a great time. And he dons our cover this particular month. You go to ColoradoMediaGroup.com And you can find that entire publication inside. You will find a very comprehensive list of area venues where you can experience the arts in a variety of genres. It is Arts Month here in Southern Colorado. And, you know, if you're into the performing arts, the visual arts, museums, galleries, any of that stuff, our good friends over at Copper, the Cultural Office of the Pikes Peak Region, and, of course, the Fine Arts Center at Colorado College, and a myriad of other agencies and organizations out there. It's Arts Month, and we want to encourage you to go out there, have a little fun, dip your toe in the water in some of our museums and galleries and performance venues, and enjoy the arts. We've got a lot going on here, and that's a huge economic development play for us here in the region. But let's get to what we're really here for, which is talking about hockey. And one of the famed and storied programs in the United States here is right here in central Colorado Springs. I am hanging out with head coach. Man, a lot of people would like to meet you, man. Chris Mayotte. Welcome to the show, brother.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Excited to be here. I don't know. I should probably let you talk again first, but that top five for Ole Miss, I don't know.
No?
I think that's a little high. I like them, but I think that's a little high. I'll just start off like that.
That hurts.
We'll throw a shot across the bow right from the start.
You know, I love it. Let's play, man. Well, your Michigan Wolverines are doing quite well, sir.
They are. They are. They got a complete team, it looks like. I don't know that their O-line's as good as it was last year, but J.J. McCarthy in that next year of experience and okay. that dual running back They're good right now.
They are very good. So who do you think standing in your way from a national championship in Michigan?
You always worry about the SEC. Mm. I, whether it's Georgia, they struggled last week, but they're just loaded with talent.
So, Ole Miss.
all right, we'll say Ole Miss, but I don't think they are. And then, you know, the rivalry game of Ohio State, you never know.
That's right. A huge
rivalry
one.
Games are rivalry games for a reason, yeah. And it's usually because they're unpredictable.
Now, do you like to go home for that one?
No.
Just watch it.
I watch it from here. And quite honestly, it's once the season gets going, the fandom kind of stops. Our Saturdays, our program gets my attention.
Well, congratulations. You're in your third year here as head coach of the Colorado College Tigers men's ice hockey team. And it's a great program, known throughout the United States, is always being a contender. And so far, so good. How are things going for you?
Yeah, I think we're getting closer. It's been a process. I obviously did it a little different than Coach Prime.
Sure.
We've only brought one kid in from the portal in the last 2 years.
Okay.
So our blueprint is different. Our blueprint is to find the guys on the recruiting trail that we believe in, and then make sure that we can develop them the right way and invest in them the right way. So. You have opportunities to get guys out of the portal, but I think it's a short band-aid type of fix.
Sure.
And our vision was always to build a really strong foundation and make sure that we have a sustainable product for years. Last year was a big year for us. We started off really well. Mid-January, we were in second place in the NCHC before going 0-11-2. But the impressive part about what we have in our locker room is that we never lost confidence. We didn't lose our desire to get better. Mm-hmm. Every Monday, our guys showed up to work and continued to build belief, you know. And then first round of playoffs, went to number 7, Western Michigan, swept them on the road. And then got to play Denver, who was number 3 at the time in the country, in the semifinals, beat them up in St. Paul, and then played for a championship, which... We didn't win, and that's our ultimate goal, so we're not walking around patting ourselves on the back, but I think just knowing that we could play that type of hockey in those types of moments was really big in a much-needed step for our program to get where we want it to be.
Yep. Well, you know, it's interesting because, you know, you have those seasons where, you know, you start off to a quick start, and that's a little bit of what I'm concerned about with Air Force football at the moment. I hope they don't take their eye off the ball. You know, but there's other factors in play. It's not just you know, the your players. There's other factors in play. So before we go into your coaching philosophy and kind of what you envision, let's get to know you for a little bit. Where are you from? Where'd you start? How'd you get into this ice hockey business? And what blows your hair back about it now?
Yeah, it's funny. You know, we were talking off air. I'm a huge baseball fan. Baseball was my family's first love. It's what the family did. It's what, you know, my dad played softball. So my brother and I, we would always go to, you know, to the field and just stay out there for hours. And the Pirates were good at the time. Believe it or not, Colorado, the Pirates were a really good, team at
Willie
one point. Yeah. And then in my area, it was Bonds and Bonilla.
That's
and
right.
Van Slyke and Doug Drabeck and those guys. So, we would always go to the games. We would dress in full, you know, full uniforms.
It
really was, the first love. And then the Penguins started to get really good. So I'm from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. The Penguins started to get really good in the late 80s. I'm an 83 birth. Late 80s, early 90s, Mario Lemieux came and it just changed everything.
Yeah, sure did.
And I fell in love. I was a goalie, but Mario Lemieux is still by far my favorite athlete of all time.
Right on,
he's
man.
Like the guy that if I see in a rink, it's like, oh my, I feel like I'm 5 years old again.
Love it.
And so they became really good. And you know, I know we're on radio, so people can't see me, but I'm not a football player, right? And so in Pittsburgh, football was big.
It was huge.
And so
Steel City, man.
Yeah, and I'm just not built that way. So so I fell in love with hockey. The Penguins were fantastic. Baseball and hockey were my loves. And then I became a better hockey player. I was a goalie. And I just had a lot of fortunate people around me that gave me opportunities and breaks to help me get out of Pittsburgh as a hockey player. And then I guess, you know, coaching became the next step after that.
Love it, brother. Well, we're going to talk about a little bit more about your collegiate journey into the pros and then ultimately your coaching. And to say nothing of the fact that black and yellow seems to be a common refrain in your life. Pittsburgh Pirate and Penn fan. I'm a Steeler guy and a old school Pittsburgh Pirate fan. So anyway, we're back in a minute here with Coach Christopher Myatt. He is head coach at Colorado College. Stick with us, folks. We're back in a minute.
I got a nightmare phone call that no parent wants to receive.
Someone hit me going 60 miles an hour.
Dr. Ramos came highly recommended. When I showed him the x-rays, he immediately knew exactly what was wrong.
We've had a tremendous experience with Ramos Law. Really, I could not be happier.
Having the car accident was an accident. Finding Ramos Law was no accident.
Injured in a car accident? Ramos Law can help. RamosLaw.com.
Booth Barn Hall, your gateway to great entertainment. Bringing you world-class concerts and events all year round. Plus, looking for a venue for your next event? Check out BoothBarnHall.com. Booth Barn Hall, your gateway to great entertainment. See you at the show.
All right, we're back. Second quarter here with True North. I'm your host, Dirk Hobbs. We are hanging out with head coach of the CC Tigers. Here, Christopher Myatt is in the house. He's across the board. We're talking all things hockey and what he has in store for us this coming season. Should be exciting. And before we get back to coach here, I want to give a quick shout out to Ramos Law. It's because of Ramos Law that we're able to meet amazing fellows like this who are here to stay and who are mentoring our young student athletes here through their next season of what is to be a very competitive hockey season here in Southern Colorado. Coach, welcome back to the program, sir. Glad you're here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks for having me.
So when we left off, we were talking about, well, we have one thing in common. We're both originally from that Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. I am actually from Wheeling, West Virginia. So we drove across state lines to go to Pirate games, Penn games, and of course, the who am I missing here? Steelers,
Pirates, Pens.
Pirates, and Pens. Thank you. Goodness gracious. I think I just had a stroke. Anyway, I'm a black and yellow guy through and through. I've lived in South Florida. I grew up down there pretty much, and I never became a Miami Dolphin fan or a Bucks fan or a Jaguars fan. They weren't even there yet. But I stuck with the black and yellow. Are you still a Steelers and or a Pittsburgh fan in general?
Oh, yeah. Huge okay. Pittsburgh fan. It's just, again, I think the Pirates kind of operate in our off season, okay. so to speak. So yeah. I can give them a little bit more attention.
Love it.
Where the Penguins and Steelers, it becomes hard.
Yeah. You're working.
To stay. Yeah, exactly. Sundays, you know, you're getting prepared for the week coming up. And so it's hard even on Sundays.
Indeed.
It doesn't feel like an off day.
Well, take us through your college journey. I know you were a Michigan fan, but yeah, take us through and get us to when you're starting knocking on the door at the pros.
Yeah, so after leaving Pittsburgh, I played junior hockey in Cleveland for a year. Had a really good team there, and in the U.S. at the time, there were two junior hockey leagues that you wanted to play for. It was either North American Hockey League or the USHL. Now the USHL is where we do the majority of our recruiting out of. It's the prominent junior league. It's where all the best players are playing before they enter college. Mm-hmm. So 1 year in Cleveland, went to Sioux City, which is in Iowa, and that's kind of where the USHL is based out of. It's it's Omaha and Des Moines are kind of the nucleus of that league. And so went there, played there, won a championship, and then was offered a spot at Union College, which is, you know, Division I program in Albany, New York. Went there, was able to be a four-year starter there, and then leaving there, signed with the Avalanche, but couldn't quite hack it. I was good enough to get, I guess, you know, a cup of coffee in the American League, but never good enough to stick it out there. Mm-hmm. And it's funny, actually, my associate head coach, Pierre Menino, we were partners for a very brief time in the American League. We were goalie partners in the American League for a very brief time. So our relationship goes way back. And how I got into coaching was actually I started coaching goalies in the off season, mm-hmm. starting my sophomore year in college.
Okay.
And so it was a great off season job. It was perfect. Kept you around the game, you know, manageable hours. It kept you coaching goalies. And really, the best way to learn is to teach. So I'm teaching a 7-year old something, but really it's like, well, maybe I should start doing that myself. And you really have to understand the details of it when you're trying to teach it to a 6 or 7 year old.
Sure.
And so I think that's where my love for coaching and recognizing the impact you can have really started, mm-hmm. And grew, because we had, like I said, we had 6 year olds and then we had guys who were pro hockey players, and different communication styles, different, you know, attention to detail, all that stuff. So that was my intro to coaching. I thought I was going to do that full time. I thought I was just going to run a little goalie outfit company, mm-hmm. private lesson. But I realized quickly I missed the compete part of it, and the wins and losses, and
sure.
and really putting yourself on the line that way. So
was that a tough transition for you? I mean, how did you reconcile that?
You know what? So I finished my last, you talk about Wheeling, my last 2 years of pro were in Johnstown, Pennsylvania.
Right on.
And it was very real life, whether you want to call it a mix of major league and slap shot or whatever, mm-hmm. but it was, they were selling the team at the end of it. They were moving. Wow. It was run as cheaply as possible. It quite honestly made it easy. I'm somewhat grateful for that, for them running it that way, because I was done. Yeah. I was like, all right, it's time. You know, okay. This isn't fun for me anymore. Yeah. So in that sense, it was a frustrating year as an athlete. Yeah. But as a person to have that kind of closure and clarity and saying,
beautiful,
you know what, it's run its course. It's time for me to move on to something else.
Yeah.
It actually worked out all right that way.
So when you looked at the head coaches kind of in your day of play, who were some of the guys you admired?
Well, you know, I really wanted to, I didn't know that I wanted to be a head coach. You know, in Pittsburgh, I thought we had good ones with Jim Leland and Chuck Knoll and then
sure.
Bill Cowher. And,
yeah.
The Penguins were fortunate to have Scotty Bowman and Bob Johnson. And so I followed it in that way. But my passion was always on the recruiting side. I quite honestly, I wanted to be an NHL GM. Mm. You know, if I would play Madden, I was actually just GMing the team. I never actually played the games.
No
you
kidding.
Know,
yeah.
NCAA college football, the video game, I just wanted to recruit and build dynasties.
Beauty.
So that was really the passion, and that was what drew me to college sports. Once I knew, okay, I like coaching, and then knowing that I always had that bug to build teams, to construct teams, to recruit, it's what, you know, I just started looking up what resumes looked like in college sure. coaches and decided to go for it.
So when you go from paper to actually watching the athlete perform, does that translate for you pretty readily?
It's a very different recruiting is not what anybody thinks it is on the outside. It is in the hockey world, family advisors run the recruiting.
Okay.
And so there's two real big pieces is one, your talent evaluation, right? Mm-hmm. Is big. And I think depending on where you are and understanding who you're working for and what strengths are going to be good for the coach that you're recruiting for, that's really important. And then building the relationships with the people that are helping these young men make their decisions. That's the next biggest piece. Mm-hmm. And that's probably in because of the family advisor in college hockey or in hockey in general, you know, you build three or four relationships with top advisors and that's a lot of who you recruit from.
Okay.
It's time management, right? You gotta trust your network. You gotta trust your people. And so, no, it was nothing like it, but I was passionate about it. Mm-hmm. And so I was willing to be on the road, you know, 200 days a year to get better at the craft.
Wow.
And, you know, I spent my first 2 years recruiting. I was at St. Lawrence University in upstate New York. I saw us play 18 games
yeah.
total. The rest I was out finding players.
Yeah. So when you see a player, how long does it take you and your crew to really figure out if they're a fit for CC?
I think I'm one that likes to see it. I take a little longer
okay.
than some. I think that there are some that can watch and probably in 5-10 minutes have a pretty good feel of what they like and what they don't like. I'm a little bit more, I want to have like strong belief before I sit across from somebody and tell them I want to recruit them.
Sure.
You know, people talk about it all the time. There's two ways to recruit, one with your eyes, one with your ears. And so if you're in a rink and you're just hearing the buzz on who the player is, who's getting all the attention, you know, you can be drawn to that. And then you just start recruiting them based off of what you've heard.
Feedback, yeah.
And other schools that are involved and things like that, where I am much more, you know, I want to see you in this situation and I want to come back and see you in that situation. Now, there are certain situations where you don't have that much time, right?
Yeah.
You have to expedite the process because if you see him at a showcase in September, the whole country's there. You yeah. don't have time to go back and see him. So that's where you trust the people that you can call and say, is this is what I saw? Is it who he is? Mm-hmm. Or did I see just an off day or an on day? And you start to do your work that way.
So what kind of program are you building here? You don't go into this business not wanting a national championship.
No, and that's what it is. And you know, we talked about this, you know, Michigan was my dream school.
Sure.
And I was at Michigan before I took the job at CC. And so my mom and dad are from there. It was a great spot. I wouldn't have come to CC. I wouldn't have left what we were doing at Michigan if I didn't know that we had everything we need here to be great.
Okay.
You know, I've been a part of a national championship team at Providence College. I've won championships throughout my career. Like, there's a blueprint to it.
Nice.
And we have absolutely everything that we need here. Now it's just up to me to do the job.
Well, we're hanging out with Christopher Myatt. Chris Myatt, he's the head coach at Colorado College men's ice hockey team and quite an accomplished coach. He's done the player thing, but this is his love song, man. He loves to coach young men into optimizing their experience on the ice. And what better place to do it here than Colorado Springs and the storied program here at Colorado College. Coach, glad you're here. We're going to get back into it in the second half of our show. But I definitely want to encourage anybody who is looking for the next stories in North to take a close look at ColoradoMediaGroup.com/magazines. Take a look at our next cover. We got Boyd Williams. He's heading up the YMCA here in the region. Great guy. and you'll find lots of other stories just like it. So back with Christopher Myatt here in just a moment.
And events that matter to you. AM 1460 and FM 101.1. The Answer.
I asked for too much, but maybe this thing was a masterpiece. Till you tore it all up.
All right, we're here in the second half of True North. I'm your host, Dirk Hobbs. Hey, thanks, Ramos Law, for bringing us this program. You're listening to AM 1460 and 101.1 FM, The Answer, here on Salem Media. We're hanging out with Chris Myatt, who's the head coach over at Colorado College for the men's hockey team. And dream job, coach, yeah?
Yeah. You always want to go somewhere where you believe you can be great, right? Mm-hmm. That's the whole point. And when I look back, I climbed the ladder fairly quickly, I think, as an assistant coach. But in this business, you get one chance to be a head coach, and if it doesn't work out, it hasn't shown that you get another chance.
Really,
and so
it's tough.
It really is. You look at George Gwozdecki at Denver, right? Mm-hmm. He had an incredible career. They let him go, and he hasn't gotten another job, mm-hmm. Which is mind blowing. But it's generally how college hockey is working. There's only 62 programs.
Yeah.
So there just aren't enough programs for the quality of coaches that are out there. So when I looked at this job, I remember I was in Fargo. We were there in the NCAA tournament with Michigan. And I got a text from our athletic director, Leslie Irvine. And she just said, "Hey, I'd like to talk to you about the position." And our very first call, she said, "When you think of Colorado College hockey, what do you think of?" And I said, it's a top five program in the country. It was a place that I wanted to go
Good
to school.
Answer,
it's a place that I wanted to play for.
Yeah.
I was in school that 02 to 06. They were in Frozen Fours. They were top five teams.
That's right.
It was a special time in CC, but I always believed that that's what this place could be. And when you come out here, and you see the new arena, Ed Robeson Arena is truly special. If you haven't come in and seen a game there, it's an unbelievable atmosphere. When you put all those pieces in place, we play in the best league in the country. We have the best education by far in our conference. We're in Colorado Springs. We have a brand new arena. That's it. There really isn't much. On the recruiting trail, the only thing we can't say that we have right now is recent success. And we're really close on... Right now, this class that we brought in is a top eight class in the country. Mm-hmm. We get that recent success, I think we start consistently getting top five recruiting classes in the country. And so all of the pieces are here. It's an incredible place. It's a place that I'm familiar with. Union College is a 2,000 student liberal arts school. Colorado College is the same. The difference is it's on steroids out here. Like I said, it's the SEC of football, the NCHC, and when you build a brand new $70 million facility, recruits are impressed.
They're very impressed. Yeah, that's a great site downtown, part of the City for Champions initiative. Big program down there. So when you first got the job, what was your celebration like?
It was I'm one of those, I'm a reflection guy.
Okay.
And so it's, I like to take those moments. And I think it's one of the things that makes me a good coach is the ability to reflect and calm down and be present. And so obviously, you call your parents,
sure.
And it's a big time moment for me and my wife. We didn't have our son at the time.
Mm-hmm.
But it was, I had gone after some jobs and it didn't work out. And fortunately, because they weren't even close to the caliber of job that CC is. But it was, we had just gotten eliminated from the NCAA tournament. So, you had a little bit of that, man, I thought this team at Michigan was really good. I thought we had a chance to win a championship.
Right.
So, you're getting over that. Mm-hmm. But then to have this opportunity to step up, and it happened fast. It happened within 10 days, of that text message. So,
no kidding.
It happened fast and it's one of those whirlwind moments where you're like, okay, I guess we're moving.
yep.
But it was a great moment. My mom was torn. because she lives in Detroit, and I had finally, you know, come back home and was working at Michigan. So my mom was obviously happy for us, but part of us going back to and taking the Michigan job was to be closer to home.
Sure.
But this opportunity was just way too good to pass up, and we love it. And trust me, people love visiting us in Colorado.
No, I can't imagine, right? You're everybody who thinks they want to ski,
yes,
giving you a call. So is she a Red Wings fan?
No, she's a, well, my mom, yes. My wife is a Penguins fan. She was born in Jacksonville, lived a little bit in Key West in Texas.
Florida girl, okay.
Yeah, but considers herself a Pittsburgher.
Okay.
So she's a Penguins fan.
How about your son? Are you going to raise this kid to play some hockey? Or
I don't think I'm going to have
a
choice. When that's what I do, and he comes to the rink and sees games, I think it's going to be something that he's attracted to. But I'm hoping for golf and baseball.
So how old is he?
He is 18 months.
He's okay. So too early for skates.
Yes, okay. Too early for skates, but yeah. He swings the golf club around the house pretty well at this
serious?
Point.
Yeah. That's terrific, man. Love it. All right, so you arrive here. You take a look at the program, and what's going through your head? I mean, you got some rewiring to do.
Yeah, it was a program that we had won 4 games the year before we got here. And I think when you look at the NCHC in this league, there are two things that this league does really well. One, it's very talented. Two, they know how to win.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so when we took over this team, I think we had won 5 out of the previous 6 national championships have come out of the NCHC. So not only are you evaluating your talent and saying, how do we get close that gap?
Right.
But you're trying to teach guys how to win in a league that is very hard to win in. And the other programs are very experienced in doing it, and they have the confidence in doing it. I got great advice. One of my mentors told me, listen, your team's going to be way better than you think it is. Don't look at the record. It's going to be better than that. The players in there are better than that.
Nice.
It's just that sometimes things start to go a certain way and the mentality isn't there. And so we put in the foundation of just, you have to earn your confidence. And that was year one. We practiced longer than we should. We practiced on days that we probably should have taken off.
Mm-hmm.
We worked out harder than we should. But year one was simply about earning the right to say you're confident, and putting in the work and making sure that when you went and played an opponent on Friday, Saturday night, you knew that you put in enough work to deserve success. We didn't get it as much as we would like. But that was the big thing is how do we attract the student athletes that we think can get us where we want to go?
Mm-hmm.
And then how do we make sure that when they get here, we already have a foundation in place that we can build on it? And fortunately, our locker room is phenomenal. I give a ton of credit to the prior staff. The people that we have in our locker room are we have championship people in our locker room.
Nice.
And we had them right from day one.
Right.
So as a staff, we felt like we could come in and get to work right away. Right. We didn't have to clean house. We didn't have to move people along. And that's a huge benefit because now they're the leaders right now, of the team that we think is going to take a huge step this year and really take us to that next level as a program and make us a 20 win program, make us an NCAA tournament program. That's the ambition that we have this year. And it's those guys that were here when we took the job that have put in 3 years of work now, to be put us in this position.
So when you were talking to Leslie about the job, what does that conversation look like for a head coach? I mean, obviously, notwithstanding, you know, some of the private components, salary and all that stuff. But what is the interview process like? Is that more of a philosophical discussion? How does that work?
Yeah, I think you have to understand the school's priorities and how they see the program fitting amongst the CC community.
Mm-hmm.
Which again, my experience at Union was very similar, right? It was a D1 hockey program at a D3 athletic department,
right.
Small liberal arts school. So I understood that dynamic. And one of the things that we talked about is about gratitude and making sure that it's our job to fill our student section. Who we are on campus will determine how filled our student section is. They're not going to come just because you're a Division I athlete. That's not who we want to be.
Right.
So understanding that dynamic, But then you want, again, you want to make sure that you're going to walk into a place that you can be successful at. And there's so much that goes on outside of, hey, we have a nice rink and we're in a good league, right?
Yeah.
It's what are truly the resources behind it? What type of staff can you put together at a place like this? Can you keep your staff together long enough to really take that step as a program?
Create that glue.
Yes. And then can we build the program that matches the arena? This is a beautiful selling point. It's gorgeous. It's what the recruits see. It's what the fans see. But if behind the curtain, it feels very different, the transfer portal is going to be filled with players because it's not going to feel the same, right? It's going to almost feel like you got tricked into something. And so my conversations with Leslie were, what is her vision? Mm-hmm. And how long is she going to be here?
Yeah.
And then what are we going to be able to do together? And I will say she's an incredible teammate.
Yeah, she's a great leader.
Incredible.
Yep. So the philosophical doctrine that you're employing with the kids, I mean, we got about a minute or two before we need to go to break, but tell us in 45 seconds, what is your sticking point with the athletes?
You earn everything. You earn everything. When we put in game plans, it's hard, fast discipline. And we want to be the team that nobody wants to play against. We want to be the team that we call our culture high challenge, high support. We're going to push you beyond anything you've ever done before. We're going to train you at the edge of your capacity. We're going to make you comfortable in the uncomfortable situations. The only way you get better at doing hard things is by doing hard things and doing them well. But our staff is very supportive. We're going to find more positives than negatives. We're going to be optimistic about the situation. We're here to make you your best version of yourself. Doesn't mean it's rainbow and sunshine all the time. But we want to be there to help you grow. If we can grow the individual better than other programs, our program grows better than other programs.
Love it.
So that's our philosophy.
Appreciate it, Coach. Coach Chris Mayad, head coach at the Colorado College men's ice hockey team here in Colorado Springs. We're back in a minute to learn what's next for the program.
One critical fact that needs to be established is that your injuries were caused by the accident incident you were involved in. For your case to have merit, it must be made clear that had you not been in the crash in the first place, you wouldn't have been hurt. This is one of the most important steps in the entire process, and leaving it to anyone but an expert is a serious mistake. Ramos Law, doctor, lawyer, partner, combining medical and legal knowledge for better outcomes for you.
All right, we're back here, True North, fourth quarter, and if you're longing for football, unfortunately, you're going to have to hang out in front of a television set today because no Colorado team is playing at home this weekend. But, hey, that's what couches are for, and we can hang out, watch the SEC, or if you're like our guest, he might be watching Michigan play today. I'm with Coach Chris Mayotte, and thank you, Mr. Producer, for correcting me. I guess I was calling him Mayotte. So it's Chris Mayotte, head coach of the Colorado College Tigers here in Colorado Springs. You know, I love what you're building here, Coach, because you're building infrastructure. You're building kids with character. You're looking at big picture, not just the immediate cycle of wins and losses. Because that comes with the territory no matter where you are, whether you're at Alabama or Michigan or here in Colorado College. It's building a program from the inside out, and I appreciate the fact that you're really putting the kids through the paces, but where's the balance now? So you've got what I would gently call an entitlement generation moving through our continuum of care. How do you break the horses and get them to get with a program and become part of a team now?
It really is. I actually don't think it's very difficult, but it has to be through relationship building, through care for them individually. They don't care as much about me, and I don't say that like they don't like our staff, but it is about, hey, can I trust you? And if you get to a spot where you build the trust and they know that when we do something in practice, if I call you out, if I show you in a video clip in front of the team, if anything like that happens, it's for the like your good,
right?
Right? It's not personal. It's not for me. It's for you. And they have to believe. They have to know that you truly believe in them.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm a big guy. I'm a big believer in you coach your best players the hardest.
Yep.
And because they know that you believe in them because you keep putting them on the ice. Right. And so I can demand that much more from you because you are getting that next shift. And it isn't that I don't believe in you. And it isn't that this is about me. It's you told me you want to be this player.
Mm-hmm.
This is where you are. These are the action items to get to become that player. My job is to hold you to that standard so that you can become that player. And we build out that blueprint for every one of our players. We sit down as a staff. We say, this is where you are. And it's a conversation. It's not just us telling them, right? Because mm-hmm. they need to be able to reflect and know where they are. So we say, this is where we believe you are. This is where you believe you are. This is where we both think you can go and want to go. What do the action items look like? And it's not, oh, I'm going to get stronger. No, everybody's going to get stronger. You're a D1 athlete. That doesn't count.
Like yeah.
really true intentional actions that you can put in place and we can hold you accountable to become the player you want to become, and then we become the program we want to become.
Absolutely. Well, and most of these kids, actually all of the kids you're probably looking at, I mean, they're good. They're
yeah.
good athletes. They're good hockey players. They have a sixth sense on the ice, a lot of them. And yeah, correct. They're still growing. But in general, when you look at the pre-undergraduate class that are coming in any given recruitment cycle, those kids are good. How long does it take for them to calibrate and say, okay, this is a different league?
Yeah, it takes a little bit. Okay. And that's one of the things that we don't know. You know, you never know about your freshmen is how they handle adversity.
Sure.
And yeah. when it really gets hard. And you talk to their previous coaches and you try and get an idea of how they handle coaching. What's the best way to get the most out of them? You have that information. But this will be, you know, the NCHC is the hardest league that they will have played in up until this point. So when it gets really hard, how do they handle it? And we're very upfront with that's our job. We talk about you're not coming here trying to avoid adversity. You're coming here knowing that you're going to face a ton of adversity. Let's prepare for it.
Right.
And how do we prepare for it? And that's mm-hmm. where the work comes in, right?
Yep.
So that when you build real confidence, even if you're struggling, you can always go back to, okay, I put in this work. I did this. I understand these things. And then our job is to help them get through it. But it takes some, it's probably half a year.
Half a year. Yeah. So you're building their spine, right? How do you transition from a firm, concrete, character-laden group, okay, that is really starting to calibrate and gel as a team, trusting their coaches, trusting their feet on the ice? How do you start to build a championship team?
I think the last year us playing in a championship was huge. At some point, you just need results, right?
Mm-hmm.
At some
sure.
point, it's like, hey, we can put together the greatest plan. You guys can be great people and buy in. But until that those wins start actually coming, there's always going to be that little bit of doubt. Is there another way to do this? Should I? Okay, coach is doing this. I'm buying in, but we're not winning.
Mm-hmm.
So then do I start to go this way and think that I have a better idea for it?
Mm-hmm.
And that's why the end of last year, I was so proud of our guys. When you go 0-11-2 and then you can go win three straight games on the road against 7-3 in the country, like it shows that they were still in, right? They
mm-hmm.
were still focused on what we were doing. They were still buying into what we were talking about. And now we have that group of leaders that comes back and played in a championship game, which 2 years ago, if you told a lot of those guys that they'd be playing in a championship game, I think they'd all tell you you're crazy. But we got there through the work, right? So now the next group that comes in, that's almost just the standard. And now, like you said, it's about you have that structure, you have that belief. Now it's, how do you show them the difference between being in games and being a good team versus winning,
mm-hmm.
right? And actual winning. And that's what we focused a lot on this preseason is we're not preparing to be a good hockey team. We're preparing to win hockey games. And you'd still do that in a day-by-day process.
Absolutely, yeah.
But the standard is changed. The
mm-hmm.
standard is you're here to win. And that's a mentality that it took us 2 years to
change. Of course it does. That's right.
And to build.
Well, in your 70s and 80s counterparts, you know, it was probably a lot of physicality, all right? We're going to muscle our way through this. But now as a coach at every level in any sport, there's the mental and emotional component of being a student athlete. And at CC, it's not a light load. There's high expectations in the classroom, and there's high expectations on the ice. How do you help them balance that?
It's a great question. And I think that is the balance for all coaches now that is different, right?
Yeah.
Really, you never had to worry about what they were doing away from the facilities.
Right.
It was, I'm a hockey coach or I'm a football coach, and that is it. The rest is up to you. And I think, one, we're fortunate to be at CC. You know, we've partnered with Children's Hospital. We have a great thing going with them in terms of how we're providing resources to our student athletes and our students regarding mental health. I believe that we run a program that is very inclusive and is, we talk about issues, you know, we're vulnerable coaching staff. Mm-hmm. I think that leads to a vulnerable locker room, which allows people to feel like they can open up and speak.
Right. Get it off their chest.
Yeah. Yep. Which is huge. And to do it to a teammate who is actually listening, right? Actually, because the teammate now understands that that's a priority as well.
Right on.
Because that's the people they talk to the most.
Sure.
Right. And then one of my first hires when I got here was a sports psych guy, Wally Bisdell, Doc Wally. And, you know, he's a guy that's available for our guys 24/7. Some guys call him 2-3 times a week.
Sure.
Some only talk to him when he's out here in the springs, but, you know, doing teamwork. But we have a lot of resources at CC. I think that's one of the things that we're really fortunate that is a huge part of building a successful program.
Has the image component entered into hockey like it has in football?
In terms of NIL?
Yeah.
There's rumors of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a kid that just flipped his commitment from Minnesota to BU, and people are talking, it's not the dollar amount that you're hearing in the other sports, but people are talking about $75,000 or whatever. But I don't think that's reality.
Mm-hmm.
I think what hockey has right now is cost of attendance and Alston money. Which equals usually around $10,000.
Yep.
But it's not, you know, actually we're fortunate because we've had a couple guys do some real NIL stuff and do some photo shoots out here and be in commercials and get
sure.
compensation for that.
Yeah.
But it's not the recruiting tool, yet in hockey that it is in other sports.
And is it a detriment, do you think, overall?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I think so. I won't share the school or the sport, but I know they got to recruit for $150,000. They played him, had a good freshman year. He walked in the office at the end of the year and said, 250 or I'm out.
See, that's just not the way it's going to work, folks. I love this conversation. I hope you'll come back, Coach, but I know you're in embarking on a big season ahead of you. Players are ready. How's the season look?
Players are ready. We have a really exciting team this year. We have 18 returners. We have 9 freshmen. The freshmen are, you know, it's the deepest class that we've had here.
Beauty.
If you look at the rankings, it's a top 10 class in the country. We have size, we have skill, we have depth, and most importantly, we can score. We weren't able to score much last year. We lost our top scorer to the NHL. This class can score. And so I think last year we gave up 99 goals. We scored 79. I truly believe we'll be able to flip that this year. And that's our goal. So if we can get above 90 goals scored, I think we can keep it under 80. To me, that makes us an NCAA tournament team.
Indeed, it does. Christopher Mayotte, head coach at Colorado College men's ice hockey team here in Colorado Springs, wishing you all the best. And here's to your good health and the health of your players. And have a great season, Coach.
I appreciate you having me.
I'm glad you're here. All right, folks. Well, have a great weekend. Enjoy this beautiful fall weather. Can you believe it? It's already buzzed through here and in 1 hour that we hung out with Christopher Mayotte here. So it's been a lot of fun. Hope you watch CC. It's tough to get a ticket out there anyway, but you can certainly watch them on television. CC Hockey, folks. Keep your eye on them. This is going to be a fun year. Take care.
You've been listening to True North with your host, Dirk Hobbs. Saturday mornings at 8 on AM 1460 and FM 101.1. the answer.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.